We are very excited to have you with us today, especially if you are a visitor. It's always a blessing for us to be together as a church family to worship and sing praises to God. John the Baptist told Herod that it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife, Herodias. Herod was angry, and he wanted to put John to death, but he refrained from doing so out of fear, because the people regarded John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced for everyone at the party. Herod was pleased, and he foolishly offered to give the girl anything that she wanted. She speaks with her mother, returns to Herod and says, "I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Herod was sorry, but he had given his word in front of the guest, and he didn't want to go back on it, and so John was executed. This news was given to Jesus, and when he found out that John had been beheaded, he got into a boat, and he withdrew with his disciples to a desolate place. But when he came to shore, there was a great crowd waiting for him because they had learned of his whereabouts. And when Jesus got off the boat, he had compassion on them. He healed their sick. But when evening came, the disciples wanted to send the crowds away into the town so that they could buy food for themselves, but Jesus didn't want to do that. With only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he feeds 5,000 men and women and children. These events set the stage for our text this morning. We are in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat was a long way off, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear, but Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" This morning, I want us to make 4 observations based on this story. Number 1, each of us will face a storm. It says that immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Jesus dismisses the crowds. He instructs his disciples to get into the boat. He says, I want you to go to the other side and wait for me. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus withdraws. He finds a place of prayer. Jesus is praying, but his disciples are in a terrible storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The waves were crashing against the boat. The wind was howling. We can only imagine that the thunder was booming. The lightning was flashing. They were terrified. I don't know about you, but I was in the middle of the sea, and it was pitch black outside, and I couldn't see 2 feet in front of me. And I thought that I needed help. I would want a radio. I want to be able to make a call and have the Coast Guard come to save me, swoop in with a helicopter and have someone drop down into the water and swim over to my boat as quickly as possible and, of course, rescue my friends first, not me first. But that's what we would want, right, in a situation like that. But these guys didn't have that technology at their fingertips. Here they are. They are in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. John's Gospel says they were 3 or 4 miles away from shore. It's safe to assume that they were terrified. The point is, it was too far from them to turn around. Have you ever been caught in a situation where it's too far for you to turn around and pressing forward seems hopeless? Your spouse leaves you for someone else. As much as you want to go back to the way things were before, you can't. But imagining a future without him or her seems hopeless. Or perhaps you have spent much of your adult life addicted to alcohol. You remember a time before addiction, and you wish with everything that you could go back. But you can't. You regret the time that's been wasted. And you're just wondering how God is going to take the broken pieces of your life and put them back together again. Or maybe your neighbor knocks on your door one afternoon and he shares with you the life-saving power of the gospel. Your heart is pricked. You repent. You confess. You're baptized. You are filled with joy and peace and happiness that finally you have found what is missing in your life. But you're 60 years old and your children are grown. You want to go back so desperately and do things differently. You wish that you could go back and take them to church in VBS and read them Bible stories before it's time to go to bed, but you can't. And imagining how God is going to work and move in their lives in the future just seems hopeless. That must have been how the disciples felt. They were in the midst of this terrible storm, and the situation just seemed hopeless. Storms were common on the Sea of Galilee due to the topography of the land. In our current residence, a fallen world that we live in, storms are common and they are to be expected. If we live long enough, that each and every one of us will face a storm of some kind. There's a song that we commonly sing in Vacation Bible School. It goes entitled "The Wise Man and the Foolish Man." The wise man builds his house upon the rock, and the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The rains come down, and then what? The floods, they go up. And the wise man's house stands firm. And then the part of the song that children seem to like the most, and then the foolish man's house went splat. The point of the song, which is based on a parable Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 7, build your hope on the bedrock of Christ, right? But let's notice something. The winds and the rains and the waves beat upon both houses. If you are a righteous person or an unrighteous person, be prepared. Have a sense of expectancy for storms to come your way, because they will. Whether that be the death of a friend, a chronic illness, depression, anxiety, the loss of your job. The apostles were in a terrible storm. And we will face storms as well. Number two, Jesus is with us during the storm. Verse 24. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. The boat is being tossed by the waves and the wind. And the apostles are terrified. And they think Jesus is nowhere to be found. But then, in the fourth watch of the night, sometime between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus comes walking to them on the Sea of Galilee. What a sight to behold! No one had ever walked on water before, and then Jesus is making his way toward the boat, walking on the churning waters of the Sea of Galilee. The apostles, what is their response? They're terrified. They think they're seeing a ghost. Have you ever been in a situation that was scary, but then something else happens that takes your mind off of what you were afraid of before? Perhaps you're driving home from work one afternoon, and you're thinking about a conversation that you had with your boss. You're not sure how much longer your services will be needed. As you're thinking about this, suddenly a blue minivan pulls right out in front of you. In that moment, in a fraction of a second, suddenly you're not thinking about work problems anymore, are you? That must have been how the disciples were feeling. Death by imminent storm was bad enough, but now there's a ghost. And that's not the worst of it. He is making his way toward our boat. They were terrified. But Jesus says, "It is I." Brothers and sisters, those are the only words that we need to hear. We are in the storm, but Jesus is with us. And He says, "It is I." And when we hear those words, we can know that everything is going to be okay. Number three, Jesus wants us to step out of the boat. Verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. What remarkable faith. Peter had never seen anyone but Jesus walk on the water. And just moments previous to that, he thought Jesus was a ghost. Lord, if it's you, will you command me to come out on the water? And what does Jesus say? He says, Peter, come. Perhaps the other disciples were thinking the same thing. Maybe they wanted to join Jesus on the water when they saw him walking towards them. But being the first person to step out is scary, is it not? When I was in high school, each summer I attended a camp at Freed Hardeman called Horizons. It was my favorite time of year for many reasons. It was a blessing to have the opportunity for the Christian friendships that we enjoyed. It was always great to be able to hear my favorite speakers get up and deliver powerful lessons. But my favorite time of the week was Thursday night. Why? Because it was the very last night of camp. It ended on Friday. And it was the night when most kids who were going to come forward, that's when they would do it. And the same thing happened every year. Thursday night would come around, we would sing our songs of worship, the keynote speaker of the hour would get up, deliver his lesson. The song leader would then sing a verse or two of the song, or songs rather, that had been selected. And it was the same every year. At first, there was nothing. But then one person would step into the aisle and make the long walk to the front of the building. And what followed was beautiful every year. There was always a flood of kids that would follow, that would come forward after that and make things right. Jesus wants us to step out of the boat in faith. And if we will do that, then guess what? Other people will follow. How amazing is that? Number four, if we sink, then Jesus is there to save us. Verse 29, he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Peter has his eyes fixed on Jesus. But then he sees the wind and the waves, and he becomes afraid. Have you ever been in a situation where your eyes were fixed on Jesus? You knew that he was there. You wanted to be where he was. But then your eyes were distracted by other things. Perhaps you obeyed the gospel and you're very excited to be in Christ. But then a friend from the past resurfaces, and then you're pulled into a lifestyle that you had turned away from. Or perhaps you have resolved to be more patient with your children. It makes you feel ashamed to snap at them or make them feel small. But then you learn that your sister has cancer, and you find yourself slipping back into that same behavior with your kids. Peter was looking at Jesus. He wanted to be where Jesus was, but he began to sink. He saw the wind and the waves, and he was terrified. And what does Jesus do? Jesus reaches down, and he grabs Peter, and he takes him back to the boat. Now, how did Jesus get Peter back to the boat? I used to imagine Jesus grabbing Peter by the hand and saying, "Peter, you're sinking. Let me save you." And he takes Peter, and then he's got his hand, and they're walking back to the boat. Now, how far they're walking, we don't know. How far Peter walked out, the Bible doesn't say. But there is a parable in Luke 15 that Jesus tells that I think may shed some light on how Peter got back to the boat. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a parable of a man who had 100 sheep. One of them has been lost. And Jesus says that the man leaves the 99, he goes in search of that one lost sheep. And when he finds that sheep, how does he bring the sheep home? It says that the shepherd placed the sheep on his shoulders. Peter is saying, "Lord, save me." I imagine that Jesus lifted Peter up and carried him in his arms back to the boat, back to safety, back to where everything was going to be all right. This should give us all the confidence in the world to step out of the boat in faith, because we know that if we do, then Jesus is going to be there to lift us up if we fall down. There is no sin, there is no problem, there is no frustration that is too big for God to restore, to rebuild, to renew, to tie together for us in a way that is for our benefit and is for our safety. Each of us will encounter storms. The winds and the waves will beat upon our families, our relationships, our careers, our health, our finances. But Jesus is with us in that storm. The question I want to ask you today is this: are you fixing your gaze on the winds and the waves, or are you fixing your gaze on the Son of God who is walking on them with all of His power and all of His might? If you know that your gaze needs to be drawn from the waves to the Savior, then we want you to come today and make that right. Only you know what that need is. Maybe what needs to change is your heart. Maybe you don't need to come forward today. But maybe you know that you need to pray to God and ask Him to create a spirit of change within you. Or perhaps you know that you need to be baptized this morning. You've been thinking about it for a good while, and you know that you haven't obeyed the gospel, what time could be better than right now for you to do that? I can't think of one. If you have any need at this time, then we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.